Our gospel lesson is found in Mark chapter 2 and into chapter 3. I invite you to stand. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain, and the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him? And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come here.' And he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
While we are still standing, please receive now this scripture reading from Matthew chapter 12, the scripture lesson for our sermon. Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. "At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.' But he said to them, 'Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Now, when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" so that they might accuse him. Then he said to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Thus far the reading of God's word. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the hearing and the application of his word. May this be true, and all of God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated. It is possible to make a big mess out of very good things. It is possible to be surrounded by good gifts and then make things rather ugly. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. It is possible to be surrounded by good gifts and then tear other people down. It is possible to do this even under the banner of being lawful. But I'm following the law, and you. We can sure mess things up when we are missing Jesus. This is part of what we will see in this passage. It's a passage about the gift of the Sabbath, of the fourth commandment. In Matthew chapter 12, we saw last week that there are four identifying marks in this passage, all pointing to Jesus, and they were matters that People were missing, and therefore they were missing Jesus. Those four signs were these: Sabbath, servant, spirit, and signs. These were matters that are essential and fundamental to the life of the people of God, identifying marks of the people of God. Today we'll take a look at Sabbath in Exodus 31, verses 13 and 17. The Sabbaths of the Old Covenant, the Sabbath of the Fourth Commandment, was presented as a sign, an indicator, an identifier between God and His people. Speak to the children of Israel, Ezekiel 31:13. Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, so that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. And then verse 17. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Why? For in 6 days, let's look all the way back to creation. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. The first 14 verses of Matthew chapter 12 deal with the Sabbath, the deeds and the disputes that went on in Jesus' life over the Sabbath here. So let's take a look at Matthew 12, 1 through 14. The passage bookends this way. Begins with some deeds on the Sabbath day, and the passage ends, our passage ends, with people seeking to destroy Jesus. The passage begins with Jesus and his disciples walking through a grain field and they're eating. The passage goes on with Jesus doing good deeds. The passage ends with people saying, we need to destroy him. It's possible to make a big mess out of very good things. Our passage. These 14 verses could be called a day in the life of Jesus. A day in the life of Jesus. The entire passage, these 14 verses, occur on a single day, a Sabbath day, in the Old Covenant, the seventh day. Here's a summary of it. We just heard it. Jesus and his disciples are walking through a field of grain. The disciples were hungry. They start eating. They were accused of breaking the law by doing what is supposedly unlawful on the Sabbath. Jesus points to King David and his mighty men. They too were hungry once, and they ate something called the showbread, the bread for the priests. Jesus points to that event. Jesus also points to the deeds of the priests in the temple. Every Sabbath in the Old Covenant, the priests were working. Jesus also points to a third passage, Hosea 6:6. If you would have known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you wouldn't have condemned the guiltless. The passage rolls on. Jesus then enters the synagogue on the same day, meets a man with a withered hand, a dried up hand. The Greek word could also mean an immobile hand. His hand couldn't do anything. Jesus heals this man's hand and the man. Some questions are asked of Jesus, and Jesus asks some questions of the people watching. He asks this: what about the value of a sheep, just one sheep, or the value of a human being? Jesus concludes, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. What can we do? Do good. The Pharisees then leave, and they begin hatching a plot to destroy Jesus. There's our passage today. From Sabbath freedom to a form of Sabbath slavery. A day of good deeds done by Jesus turned into a day plotting for destruction. A day of rest has become a day of wrangling. A day off in Jesus has become a day of offense. A day of mercy giving by Jesus has become a day to scheme to murder. Let's take a look at the first four verses. You can see this on your outline. Here it is: a field, an accusation, an answer. Go to the scriptures. Let's begin with the field. Verse 1, we can see it right there. Jesus and his disciples went through a field of grain, pre-bread. It's going to be bread or something else that you can drink. Jesus and his disciples go through this field of grain. The disciples were hungry, and they plucked some of the heads of grain, and they begin to eat. There's the field. Get ready, there's an accusation now. Verse 2. They were not alone in the field. Jesus and his disciples are going through the field, but it wasn't just Jesus and the disciples in the field. The Pharisees were in the field as well. They were watching. They saw this, what they thought to be unlawful working on the Sabbath, and they were ready to pounce and to point it out. Pharisees were out there standing in a field. It reminds me of the old pun. You see someone skilled in what he does, you'll find a man outstanding in his field. Well, the Pharisees were skilled in what they did, and they were outstanding in a field. Looking around. To these micro-screened Pharisees, this plucking and preparing and eating by the disciples was nothing other than a violation of God's law. Jesus' disciples, they were gathering. They were winnowing. The Pharisees thought they were on to something. The Pharisees would have explained their concerns. They would have couched their concerns. They would have covered their concerns this way. We're concerned for the law of God. The disciples were, according to the Pharisees, working on the Sabbath. And what do? They go back to that same Exodus passage about the identifying marks of the Lord and his people. And what do? They pull out a particular passage, Exodus 31:14. You shall keep the Sabbath. It is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. So, where are we? We're in a field. There's an accusation. That's unlawful. Let's take a look at the answer, verses 3 and 4. Jesus answers them in a surprising way. The accusation is that his disciples are violating God's law. That's a serious accusation. That would not be good. But were they being unlawful? Were they breaking the law of God? Were the disciples breaking the law of God by walking through a field, taking some grain, rubbing it a bit, and then popping in a few kernels? Were they breaking the law of God? No, they were not. Actually, what they were doing was lawful. It was full of the law. It was allowed by the law. Deuteronomy 23, verses 24 and 25. Listen. When you come into your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes at your pleasure. So you're walking along and you're popping some grapes. But you shall not put any into a container. You're not supposed to take a bushel basket into your neighbor's field. You're not supposed to do that. Somebody goes, that's grapes. The Lord goes on. Verse 25 of Deuteronomy 23. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, that's this passage, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. You're not supposed to go in there and harvest. Just his work, you're taking it down. That's theft. He's planted, prepped, tended to. It's grown up. It's time for harvest. Obviously, they're able to eat. You're not supposed to go in there with a sickle and just start chopping it down, saying, we'll just take this. Don't do that. Question. Why didn't Jesus just say to the Pharisees at this time of accusation, no, you're wrong. You don't know the law of God. He's done that before. Why didn't Jesus just say, no, have you forgotten this passage? Part of the reason why Jesus doesn't do that is because he doesn't debate the way we do. He doesn't engage in a dispute the way we might. We have this view and this view, and so what do? We start throwing verses back and forth. And we then pile up our verses. How many verses do you have? How many verses do you have? Jesus does not debate that way. Let's think about Jesus' answer for a moment. Deuteronomy 23 is in the law of God. He could have pointed to that. But let's think about Jesus' answer here. Jesus knows that what his disciples did was allowed by the law. It was even allowed on the Sabbath. Imagine the Sabbath, a day of rest, prohibiting people from eating? That's ridiculous. Imagine the Sabbath prohibiting poor people from walking through a grain field or a vineyard and getting a few things to eat. No, that's contrary to the Sabbath. The disciples were not being unlawful, but what is it Jesus is doing with this answer when he says, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him?" Here's what Jesus is doing. Allow me to suggest. Jesus wants to do more than just point them back to the Scriptures. What does Jesus do? He takes them back to an event in the life of the anointed but not yet enthroned King David. David had been anointed, but he had not yet been enthroned. King Saul is still on the throne. Jesus takes them back to that event when David was on the run from King Saul and showed up in the city of Nob, appearing before King Ahimelech. Jesus points back to that event. You can see on your outline, what I'd like to do is to point to our Old Testament reading today. We're going to go through those points, but then look at our passage. Ready? That event in 1 Samuel 21, the event to which Jesus points to, was a day in the life of David. You could call it a day in the life. The events of 1 Samuel 21 also occurred on a Sabbath day. The events in Matthew 12, a day in the life of Jesus, occur on a Sabbath day. Next, David, the rightful king. Remember, Saul was the people's choice. David was the Lord's choice. So Saul got the people's choice award. David's the Lord's choice. Saul was a keeper of donkeys. And the people said, "Yeah, we want a king like that." Okay. You know what you're saying. David's the rightful king. And at that time in 1 Samuel 21, he's moving from one place to another. In our passage today, Jesus is the rightful king. And he's moving from one place to another. In 1 Samuel 21, David, the rightful king, was fleeing from a crazed king who was seeking to kill him. Here in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus, the rightful king, has already been pursued by a crazed king named Herod, Herod the Great at his birth, and will eventually be put to death by another Herod. In 1 Samuel 21, David, the rightful king, was with his band of brothers, his mighty men. Here in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus, the rightful king, was with his band of brothers, the disciples. It's going back and forth. There's more. David, we heard this in our Old Testament reading, David arrives at the city of Nob. It was a priestly city, and he meets Ahimelech. But while he was there, he was spied on by one of Saul's henchmen, a guy named Doeg, an Edomite. So David and his mighty men show up to King Ahimelech, and who's there? Doeg. He sees him. By the way, a little note about Doeg. Later on, King Saul, in his crazed ways, tasked him with going back to the city of Nob and killing Ahimelech. He's just a murderous, crazed guy. Oh, in our passage, Matthew chapter 12, Jesus and his disciples are spied on by the Pharisees. No Doeg the Edomite, or is there? Pay attention here. Interesting passage. I don't see a Doeg here. There may be more to this passage. In the parallel passage in Mark's gospel that we read for our gospel lesson today, immediately after these events, we are told of the plotting which occurred to destroy Jesus. And in Mark's gospel, it was a joint plan between the Pharisees and the Herodians. You're thinking, what's the big deal? By the way, the Pharisees and the Herodians don't do anything together, except they agree on destroying Jesus. Let me tell you something about the Herodians. The family of Herod was appointed in Idumea. They were considered Edomites. There's an amazing parallel going on here. So there was an Edomite involved, or many of them. On we go. David and his mighty men were given permission to eat the holy bread. It's also, by the way, called the showbread, the bread of the presence, or face bread. In Numbers chapter 4, it's actually called the continual bread, because God's presence is continual and he provides. In our passage, the very presence of God is here. The very face of God is here. The bread of his presence. Jesus is the one who will give his flesh as bread. Last, David and his mighty men were not in violation of the Sabbath by eating or even eating the holy bread. It was given by the priests. Here, in our passage, Matthew 12, Jesus is the final and faithful high priest. He is present, and he allows this eating. And he allows his disciples to also eat. Okay, that's a long answer. What's going on? They're in a field, there's an accusation, Jesus gives an answer. Jesus is doing more than simply saying, you're wrong. Jesus is not simply saying, you don't know the Scriptures. Jesus is doing more than saying, you're not following where the Scriptures are going. This is what Jesus is doing. He is saying, you are on the wrong side of all of this. You're on the side of Doeg the Edomite. You're on the side of, you're opposing the rightful king. You're actually opposing the rightful king, and by aligning themselves with Saul, that's what you're doing, you're aligning yourself with someone who has an evil spirit. Jesus is giving a much larger answer. Oh, and yes, they knew their scriptures. By the way, this whole issue about an evil spirit or a holy spirit, this ought to inform us as to what's going to come up in a few verses about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. This fellow does his stuff by Beelzebub. Evil spirit. Jesus says, no. Which side are you on? You're on the wrong side of this. As with all four of these identifying marks, Sabbath and servant and spirit and signs, it's all about Jesus. To have Jesus in your presence and to miss him is a frightful place to be. Even if you are busy saying, we have the law. We're going to show you this passage. Or we're going to see in a minute, we have the temple of the Lord. Let me repeat that. The temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. Or I honor the Lord's, the Sabbath. Or I hardly ever miss church. But they were doing that, and they were missing the presence of God. Well, the passage goes on. Verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, we see Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Let's walk through this very briefly. Verse 5. For the second time now, Jesus asks, have you not read? Jesus speaks of the legitimate Sabbath work of the priests. They are working on the Sabbath in the temple. And Jesus even says they profane the Sabbath. What? Profane the Sabbath? And are blameless. Some people say it's tongue-in-cheek. Other people say that's a guilt. It's a blameless breaking. They profane it, but they're pure. God has appointed it. They're working, because some people will go off in the corner and say, well, they're working. He says, no, that's what I've appointed. What is Jesus saying here? It's not just that they're missing the presence of God. They're missing the true and final priest. Jesus is there. They can't see this. Verse 6, it's not just that they're missing the presence of God and the priest of God. They're missing the place of God. Verse 6, they're missing the temple. Yet I say to you that in this place, that's an odd statement. They're having these deeds and this dispute. And right there they're saying, in this place there is one greater than the temple. In this place? You know what? This passage has a lot to say about place. Let me remind you. Verse 4, they entered the house of God. Verse 5, the priests in the temple. Verse 6, in this place, there's one greater than the temple. And then later in verse 9, Jesus on that same day entered the synagogue. There's something to do with place. You know what this is? In John's Gospel, John chapter 2, Jesus spoke of his body as the temple that was going to be destroyed. They're missing Jesus. Oh, but that's not all. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, you know who you are? You know who we are? We're being built up into a spiritual house. We're a royal priesthood. Jesus is the cornerstone, and we're being built up as living stones. Jesus is forming a whole new people. So they're missing the presence of God, they're missing the priest, and they're missing the place of God because they're rejecting Jesus. Verse 7, they desire to murder Jesus, and he wants to show mercy. They want to make it a day of condemnation. You failed. You wrong, wrong. Pick, 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 pick. Jesus, where's your compassion? Now, for the third time, Jesus, in this dispute, takes them back to Scripture. The last time Jesus did this was when he was dealing with the devil and the temptations. But God says. Twice he says, have you not read? Have you not read? Now he says, the prophet Hosea, dealing with an unfaithful bride, dealing with Gomer. Do you even understand what this means? You're all wrapped up. Do it this way. Where's your compassion? Where's your mercy? They're missing Jesus in all of this. This is why Jesus says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. You've been missing me. Presence of God, the priest, the place. You can't even see me. By the way, there's more to be said on this. We'll do this in a Bible study. There is no removal of the day of rest here. Jesus does not say, hey, don't worry about that rest stuff. I'm here now. You don't need to concern yourselves with all of that old fusty stuff. Lord of the Sabbath shows up. It'd be as silly as saying, you know what, the Lord of the Sabbath is here. The Lord of the house is here. Let's go ahead and tear down the house. It'd be as silly as saying, now that the Redeemer has come and died, we don't need to concern ourselves with redemption any longer. No, the master of the day of rest is present. It is defined in him. And so when there are people going, oh, I got a Sabbath, fourth commandment, where's Jesus in it? Jesus speaks of the reality of the Sabbath then, the Lord's day now. The pattern of resting one day in seven has been present from the creation of the world. Long before Moses ever received one etched tablet. That pattern of resting one day in seven has been present from the creation of the world, and there's no reason to believe it's been taken away. It's instructive the way J.C. Ryle speaks about this. The mistakes of the Pharisees, he wrote, about the Sabbath were in one direction. The mistakes of the Christian are in another. The Pharisee pretended to add to the holiness of the day. The Christian is too often disposed to take away from that holiness and to keep the day in an idle, profane, or irreverent manner. Oh, it's frightfully easy to become Pharisaical as we condemn the Pharisees. Oh, look at them. Well, the rest of the passage is a demonstration. But trees are still known by their fruit. Jesus enters the synagogue, same day, verse 9, and sees a man with a weak, withered hand. They ask Jesus. Jesus walks into the synagogue. He sees this man with this withered hand, and what do? They ask Jesus a question. Teacher, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? The Gospels say they wanted to accuse him. We knew that all along. Jesus points out their hypocrisy. You know what? You would stop doing whatever you were doing and care for just one sheep that fell into a well, into a pit, into a ditch. You'd stop. Jesus then asked this question. You've asked me a question? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? I've got a question for you. How much more value is a man than a sheep? Answer that question. Now, of course, they're gearing up to destroy Jesus, the Lamb of God. They're missing this too. Yes, Jesus answers, it is lawful. You want to talk about the law? You started with the law, pointing to my disciples. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Do good. So let us conclude. Here's our passage. What do we do with this? Remember, we need to focus on Jesus in this. The passage is about Jesus. While we may be able to glean some lessons about the Sabbath of the fourth commandment and make some application of the Lord's Day of the new covenant, that's not the primary focus of this passage. Certainly, Jesus commended this day of rest. It was present from creation. And he clearly referenced the works of necessity. You need to eat. He referenced works of worship. Where are your priorities? And he referenced works of mercy. Do good. Such things are expected. They are expected because they are in line with the day of rest and with the Lord of the Shabbat, the Sabbath. He is the one who has fed us. He allows us to eat. He has given us his flesh. He is the one who gives us access in worship. He is the mediator, and he is the one who has showered us with mercy. He has died for us, and he does not even now give us what we deserve. Even now. Can we focus there? And everybody's going, but what about? We look at this passage, and it's tempting to simply say, don't be like the Pharisees. And then be done with it. But wait a minute. Let's pause and consider that. There's something to that. What was it that the Pharisees were doing that was contrary to the caring, worshipful, merciful expectations on the Sabbath day? You know what they were doing? The second verse tells us. When the Pharisees saw it, they were looking. They were seeking it out. They were looking to be fault finders. When they saw it, you know what they said? Same word. Look. I want to tell you what we've seen. We saw it. We want you to see it. Pick. 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 And they find it. They're quick to point it out to others. Beware of taking good gifts and mangling them. Beware of taking good gifts and missing the giver of the gifts. Oh, yes, a wondrous gift. Oh, yeah, this passage is a contrast of deeds. What did the Lord do? And then what happens when people are always finding fault? It's restless. It's anti-Sabbath. It's anti-Lord's Day. And you know what? We will foment. We will sponsor this ourselves. But you didn't. But you didn't. But you didn't. Watch out for being Pharisaical. You know what? Somebody can be right about something and then do it wrongly. Somebody can take something so good as the law of God in Exodus 31 and to say, you know what? I'm concerned about this. What is the Lord teaching us on this? And then they can go back and they can take that passage and they say, you know what? This passage needs to become a club or a trap or a pit. All of a sudden, our concerns become condemnations. And then we say, we are of the Lord of the Sabbath. To practice such things, eat, rejoice, rest, worship, show mercy. To practice such things is to follow the example of our Lord, not to follow the example of the Pharisees. Recognizing Jesus and following His example, that's the point of the passage. That is central to this passage. Jesus brought about renewal. They sought to kill Him. We're here about renewal right now. What's going to happen? He is the bringer of rest, and the Pharisees sought to murder Him. It is possible to make a mess out of very good things, even good gifts like the day of rest. So whose example are we following? The Pharisees or that of Jesus? May the Lord give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hands and feet ready to follow. And may we learn from the Lord, for His ways are good, and we have much to learn as we honor our Lord. To Him be the glory. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.